Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Well, some disappointing... welcome back, by the way. Today's Issue is the name of this show on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, Steve, and Ray, raised in Florida, living in a tank.
That's about right.
And we're here in Tupelo, MS, media capital of the world. It's disappointing. I'm really touched. Nancy Pelosi's not going to run for re-election.
Tim, we'll be praying for you during this time of loss.
I had to learn about this on CNN.
She didn't tell you
it's
herself?
It's on our screen here. We have four TV stations on in our studio here. Fox, CNN, the BBC, and MSNBC, in the Communist Network. What did you say?
Yeah, MSNBC.
The Communist Network. Yeah. Anyway, so CNN's got up here that Nancy tear your speech up Pelosi's not going to be running for
this
office.
Is it. Yeah, she's not running for re-election.
This is it. Anyway, so
she's
not going to have Nancy Pelosi to kick around anymore.
Very strategically,
I am not a crook.
Thank you. She very strategically timed this so that she can actually not run for election like before she dies.
Oh,
she's.
Are you making a prediction here?
No, I'm not. But I'm saying she is.
Dig yourself out of this one, Steve.
She's been around a while.
We're not helping you.
She's been born in 1940, so she's 85 years old.
She's the oldest. My mom. Oh, you saying? What are you saying?
Your mom is very healthy because your mom hasn't taken all kinds of weird positions.
I would just drop back 15 yards and punt.
Yeah, punt. You know the old story about if you want to get out of the hole, first thing you do is
stop digging.
All right, what's your first story?
All right,
Steve?
Let me just. I just wanted to play an example. The young voters that voted for Mom Donnie in New York City, they really haven't thought through what they're voting for. And just really quick before we get on to some more important news, I wanted to play you one man on the street interview of one of the Mom Donnie voters. Actually, he says he started off, this was before the election, he was favoring Cuomo, but Mom Donnie was climbing on his favorite list. Cut 16.
Who are you voting for mayor?
I like Cuomo, but I think Mom Donnie might be pulling the lead a little bit with me.
Yeah. What's your favorite example of socialism that's worked?
I don't have a big example of it, of socialism.
Like between Venezuela, Cuba, Soviet Union, what's your favorite one?
Man, you put me on the spot. I'm going to have to go Cuba.
Cuba.
I'm going to have to go Cuba. Yeah. Let's go there.
Better rethink that choice.
This is not like picking out a favorite ice cream.
That kid right there, or is that young?
Is it young man? A boy? I don't know how old he was, but
yeah, he didn't know he's really.
He's a classic Mom Donnie supporter. Right
low
there.
Information. That's the definition.
Well, I do think they know what they voted for. I don't think they know the consequences of what they voted for. That's what I think.
Yeah, it's probably very likely.
Well, right. that was ridiculous. But he's not alone. You could get an interview like that on a college campus, almost anywhere in the country.
So that's why they get on boats in Cuba and risk it all to go 90 miles to Miami.
Yeah,
because it's a great place to live.
Because they want to live in the second best place on earth.
Well, listen, the thing is, our founding fathers, and go back to Thomas Jefferson, they said, I'm completely paraphrasing here, but one of the critical things that has to happen for the Republic to survive is you have to have an informed electorate, okay? People have to understand the issues. They have to understand how the government works. They have to understand how economics works, all that, so that they vote based on that knowledge. And that clip shows that there are people who have just as much of a right to vote as people who know what they're talking about. Right. They get to go into a polling station and get behind a curtain and close it and cast a vote. And that young man, I'm sorry to say, like you said, Tim, he doesn't know a hamburger from a foot long. All right? And And yet he's able to vote.
That was a nicer way of putting it than what I did.
What's he doesn't know what he voted for. He doesn't know the consequences of it. And when things go south, he'll blame Republicans.
When things go south, which I kind of take offense to, by the way.
When things go north,
I don't know why South is always the pejorative.
Right.
When things go, nobody ever said. Why didn't anybody say when things go west? You know, when things go west, then we're going to have real problems.
It doesn't have the same ring to it, does it?
You know,
although it's just as true if you think of the American geography.
What's that?
If things go west. The west is not a good example of things.
Go west, young man.
Well, there you go.
Okay, so anyway, we'll see. There is a – okay, I'm going to get into trouble here if I'm misunderstood.
And I do, by the way, I just looked up. I have an answer for the go south, things go south.
Go ahead and tell us that while I think about how I say what I'm going to say.
I just looked it up because you have said this before. When I have said things go south, you say, why you're always knocking the south. The origin of it comes from the stock market when it goes down.
Right.
And they said it's related to the standard Western set of cardinal directions. When you see north, south, east, and west, that down is south. And so they use that to describe stock market going down.
I think you just found yourself a Trivia Friday question.
I think that's too complicated. I just think they should just stick with the stock market went down.
Okay.
If you want to say that, don't say the stock market went south.
Went south. Okay.
We have feelings.
I don't want to
be a butt joke of every.
Everyone important in my life is from the South. Okay. I married a Southern woman. My kids. Right. Son was born just down the road.
Right. Okay. So
I'm trying to make it up to you, right, Tim. I know you said.
So what was I going to say?
I don't know. You said you were going to think of something.
Oh, here's what I was going to say. In terms of voting. I think everybody has a right to vote, and I believe in that. But I don't know how you get away. I wouldn't know how you get around that constitutional question anyway. I'll just say that I believe that. However, for someone to have the best interest of a entity that they are voting to decide which way to go, there's a reason why you can't vote on the leadership of a church if you're not a member of the church. There's a reason you can't vote for who's going to be the president of the Rotary Club if you're not a member of the Rotary Club. Why? Because you have a vested interest. You have in the decisions that are made. So I say that to say, when people don't have to invest squat in a government, and in fact they receive government funding, then they're compromised on their voting. I'm not saying take it away. I'm just saying that is a reality. When you get SNAP benefits, for example, from the federal government, you're going to vote Democrat all day, every day, because the Democrats have scared you into believing that the Republicans want you to have to work for it.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So there's a fine line there, and I don't know when you cross it, when enough people are recipients and they vote. Because I'm not saying just SNAP benefits. I'm talking about government contracts. I'm talking about whatever the case may be, where you're voting for stuff from the government, which other people have to pay for. Does that make sense?
It does. I would say, and I don't know how long you want to spend on
this.
Did
I say anything that was career ending right there?
No.
Okay.
But here's the problem. Then we'll toss it to Ray. Okay. In his home down south of us.
He's really down south.
Is it the founders? Really, the founders expected that by having a republic, for national and, you know, elections rather than a direct democracy, that the representatives of the people would not vote for SNAP benefits. They would not respond. They would be thinking, educated people who would do what's best for their constituency and their country. And increasingly, we are seeing, since there are no term limits, increasingly, we are seeing that the representatives, I'm talking about in the House and the Senate, continue to do what's best for their reelection chances. And that seems to be what the part, at least part of the problem is, because the people who vote for them send them to Washington saying, you better fork over the money we sent you there to pay us. And these members of Congress are saying, especially the Democratic Party, are saying, we sure will. So part of this goes on the men and women in Washington, D.C. as well, I would say.
Here you go, Steve.
All right. I want to give you guys an update on the horrific plane crash in Louisville, Kentucky that happened on Tuesday. A UPS plane was taken off from Louisville International Airport. It barely got off the ground, and it crashed at the end of the runway, spread debris for hundreds of yards in a business district. So they have now 12 confirmed fatalities, 3 on the plane, which would mean 9 on the ground, and 9 people still unaccounted for. There's so much carnage on the ground that they might not be searching for a day or two before they and they're still trying to put out hot spots before they are able to account for everybody. And they've retrieved the black box, so they should have some indication of what happened. The plane was fully loaded with 38,000 gallons of fuel. It was an MD-11, 34 years old, built in the early 90s.
And, that's and it was on its way to Hawaii. It was on its way to why it had so much fuel on board.
Well, the engine fell off.
Yes.
One of the engines just literally broke off the plane.
The
that's
port
what
engine.
Caused, huh?
The port engine. And there's been some conjecture of whether or not that had been serviced recently or not. I think the facts are still outstanding in that. We will down the road, of course. I'm sure the NTSB will figure that all out. Okay. All right. In the wake of these, we're speaking about Mamdani. In the wake of the Mamdani election, I wanted to play you a little bit of what was happening on the street. So Tuesday night was the election. Mamdani, they knew he won fairly quickly. And you started hearing things like this. Cut 12.
We're done hiding. We're done. We're done being tortured and hurt and judged. This is the correct religion. This is the religion that all of humanity needs to be upon of Islam. And we will not stop until it enters every home. So I want you to repeat after me. I want to hear it in every single district. It should tremble. Brooklyn should hear it. The Bronx should hear it. Queens should hear it. Say it as if the Ummah depends on this, my brothers and sisters. La ilaha illallah!
What does that mean? Saying something in Arabic?
Yeah, that's in Arabic. That's a Muslim saying.
What is he saying?
There's only one God, Allah, and Muhammad is
his
prophet.
It's the declaration. Yeah.
What's the difference between that and Christian evangelism?
What's the difference between that and...
One comes with the sword, one comes
if you take away, if you don't... He didn't say anything about the sword.
No.
No, I think the reason why we're playing it is so that people understand that there are a lot of Muslims in this country. This was said in or about New York City after the election of Mamdani. They want to turn America into a Muslim country. They now, if you're asking if that's a bad thing, then we're going to have to bring Alex back on and and talk about it. But I understand the point you're saying. This individual is right. This was not Mamdani, by the way.
No.
This is an imam, okay? This is a Muslim preacher.
A Muslim leader, yeah.
He does have the right to do that in this country. That's what you're saying, right?
Well, I'm saying every religion proselytizes.
Right.
And every religion thinks they're right.
Yes, but we want Americans to be aware that this is the intent of Muslims.
The we allow people to make decisions for Christ. They will kill you if you don't make a become a Muslim. And to just
who will
Muslims, the radicalized Muslims. This is Dr. Robert Jeffress. I talked to him yesterday about this story, just to get his perspective on what he's seeing about this Cut 13.
Well, we're seeing in Europe, we're seeing it in Africa, we're seeing the slaughter of innocent Christians in Nigeria by Islamic terrorists. Let's just say of 1.5 billion Muslims, 5% have been radicalized. That's 75 million radical Islamics running around the world right now, and we see what their end game is. When Christians do terrible things in the name of Christianity, they are acting in opposition to their faith. But when Muslim terrorists attack and slaughter people, they are doing what their faith calls them to do. Muhammad said in the Quran, slay the infidel. Jesus said, love your enemies. That's the great difference between Islam and Christianity.
Yeah, yeah. I think we're just trying to point out the difference between the two religions. Let me give you another example. One that you, and I heard this from an Orthodox preacher. I think he's a bishop. I was listening to this yesterday at lunch. I did not know this. In the wake of October 7th, so Hamas attack on Israel, Turkey removed in its, I think it's far eastern province, 100,000 Armenian Christians, uprooted them and kicked them out of the country. Nobody heard about that because it was in the wake of October 7th. And I think what we're saying here is that is true Islam. That's Father Josiah Trenum is who I was listening to. True Islam does that when they get control. True Islam does what Boko Haram is doing in Nigeria. So I think it's good that we let our listeners know that when you have Muslims, the vast majority in places in Minneapolis, for example, or Michigan, this is their attitude. They want Christians arrested for preaching the gospel. There are Christian law firms that have defended Christians in a couple of cities, in one in Michigan, one in Minneapolis. They were arrested for preaching the gospel outside a Muslim gathering. So,
yeah, I'm just asking the questions that some people would say. You Christians evangelize too, and you say, claim this city for Christ. I want everybody to be saved in this city. What's the difference between that and this imam saying, I want everybody in the Bronx to convert to Islam?
Because once they take power, then you, Christian, don't get to have you go to church. Yeah. You can't do what you just said. You can't do that in Saudi Arabia. In Jordan, you can't have the Christians in the East.
But
the
people need
Orthodox
to understand that, because the argument is going that I just presented is what you're going to hear from a lot of people.
They're forcing, one forces you at the point of a gun. The other begs you on the point of their soul. Ray, are you worried, Ray? About them, they're coming is what I'm writing about here. Are you worried about a Muslim takeover in this country?
Look, we started this program. Tim and Ed, you guys are going back and forth about, okay, you know, we're going to have government this. We're going to be giving away stuff. We're going to make the money available. Hey, $30 minimum wage and all of that stuff. Okay, that's only one side of the bargain. The other side of the bargain is what this guy was yelling about, this imam, that when you elect a guy like Mamdani, the other guys come alongside and say, pay attention, Brooklyn, pay attention, Staten Island, pay attention, Queens, we are coming. We are coming, and we want every single person in New York City to become Muslim. So, yeah, enjoy your free handouts, because you're about to get a huge wave of Muslim indoctrination in America's largest city. Am I worried? No. Am I concerned? Yes, very concerned about the spread of radical Islam here in the U.S.
In Middle Eastern countries, the Eastern Orthodox Church is not allowed to have a procession down the street like they do, like they can in Russia, holding the cross and, you know, at Christmas time
in
or
Israel,
Easter
time. They can.
In Israel, they can. But in Muslim countries, they're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to have a Bible out in public. You're not allowed to preach the gospel, or you get in big trouble. In some countries, you get executed. And so I think it's just important for our listeners to become aware that Islam is, even though it is a religion and they have First Amendment rights in this country, it is the opposite of Christianity. And if we were going to tell people which you should choose, we would say, we recommend you choose Christianity. So anyway, that'd be my take on it.
All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim, Ed, Steve, Paisley Jordahl, who's wearing a Johnny Cash shirt.
Yeah, we got a concert tonight in Columbus, right. The Columbus Corral.
Oh, is it Christmas cantata?
Yeah. Well, it's our fall concert tonight.
Okay.
And this is our stage outfits.
Give me the top two songs you guys are going to.
We're doing a couple songs that based on the Civil War. One is called Tell My Father, and it's about...
Love that song.
I'm having a hard time singing it, frankly, because it reminds me of my dad. It's about
a young
Union soldier who died honorably, and he said, tell my father I died a hero, I'll see him. And the other one is about decorating how the anger that fed the Civil War goes away when you start placing... flowers on the graves of both Union and...
So it's a Civil War theme?
It's home themed. These are just two of the songs that we're doing.
What's the choir you sing with?
The Columbus Corral.
Columbus, Mississippi Corral.
The Corral, yeah.
All right.
Alliance Defending Freedom is getting involved in a case in Chicago because they want to supply Bible Institute wants to supply its teaching students as student teachers in Chicago public schools. Chicago public schools, like every school district in a large city, will take teaching students that are learning how to teach and use them in their classrooms.
Student teachers.
Well, Chicago public school officials, according to Alliance Defending Freedom's press release, refused to allow Moody students to participate in its teaching program unless Moody abandons its religious-based hiring practices and hire employees who disagree with Moody's core mission and biblical values. And so they're saying, basically, we won't take students
from a Christian
college because you have Christian values.
I don't see how they don't lose that case in court. That first of all, that is a yet another piece of evidence of the abject hostility of the public school system in a lot of blue states and blue cities. And that is unconstitutional, and shame on them. This is Chicago. What city was this?
Chicago.
Shame on them, and I hope they lose a bunch of money in this court case because I think they will lose.
Yeah, I would agree.
Or the First Amendment means nothing.
I would agree. We don't have time, but Ray, I'm going to call you. I want to ask you a question about this for a story that we'll talk about tomorrow or Monday.
All right.
Well, Ray, enjoy the fine weather.
74 degrees here in Hudson, Florida.
All right. My thanks to Ray and Alex and Chris. Adam Suddeth, our producer today. Ed, Steve. I never thank Cole, our video guy.
Cole's awesome.
So, Cole, we're thanking Cole today. Don't take your video guys for granted.
No, absolutely.
That's a lesson right there.
I'd like to say he makes us look good, but I'm not sure even Cole can do that.
All right, take care, everybody. See you tomorrow.